is old, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, we have Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, it's January 15th, halfway through January. I have to tell you, man, I was hunkered down all weekend because, first of all, we got a bunch of snow, and then my wife got the flu. Now, there's one thing that you're not allowed to do in my house if you're my wife, and that's get sick. And, man, oh, man, in 37 years of marriage, Michelle's down really probably for only about the second time I can ever remember. And she won't rest. She won't rest. So I'm praying rest upon Michelle today. It's not the flu, but she does, has a little bit of a fever. I've often said to her, Michelle, your death would be a far greater blow to our family than me. You guys could go on without me, but man, if Gigi would go down, I'm not speaking death to my wife. She's not worried about that. But man, she was on the couch all day yesterday, and she can't hardly get out of bed this morning. And just, hey, Larry, would you pray for my wife right now? I sound kind of selfish, but would you just, I know she's listening up there. Would you just pray for her?
Hey, Coach, we're all going to pray for her brother.
What's that, Vince?
I said we're all going to pray for her brother.
Yeah, but let's just pray in agreement. Larry, would you pray for her?
Let your will be manifested in every aspect of Michelle's being, her health, her spiritual, her emotional, every aspect of her life. Let your will manifest itself in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Her birthday's coming up here on the 28th. Got to get that girl healthy because she and I are going to take, I don't know if I told you all this. We pooled all of our money. We're going to take ourselves a cruise. Never been on a, we're going to go on a cruise here on towards the end of the month here. She's got 10 days to get healthy. So, thank you, Lord, for raising her up. Today's the day, man. Today's D-Day. We're going to find out if all this Roundup, draining the swamp stuff is real. Today's supposed to be the day that, the IG report is released and that we begin to see exactly what's happened and the Trumpsters and the good people in the government are going to go, round up folks. It's crazy. You know, I spent a lot because Michelle was down. That has a whole lot to do with it. It's terribly cold here and terribly stormy all weekend. Michelle said, you've been on that computer all weekend. That's about the truth. I really have. I did stuff I've been consuming is just my. So we're going to find out if today is the day that, nothing hidden will not be revealed. We have gone through, I'm not going to talk about this all morning. Stay with me. The crooks that we have seen in office in the last 30 years of just, guys, I don't even know if we even have any concept of it. The United States has become that crooked government they told us the Soviet Union was back when I was back in the 70s, in the 60s and 70s. And they told us how crooked it was over there in Russia and you couldn't believe the press. And it was all just, the media was manipulating everything. And, it was, the state media, they put out and the Russians believed all the lies. You know, that is us.
Amen.
That is us. That has become us. And why has it become us? Well, because we are also under, call it whatever you want to, we're under godless rule in America. Godless rule. That's what communism is, godless rule. America's been under godless rule since, I don't even know how far back we would have to go. I suppose it started to creep in maybe around Truman, the Eisenhower, maybe go even back as far as back as FDR, go clear back to 1913 and the Federal Reserve and the income tax and the creature from Jekyll Island. You guys said, what? Yeah, I've studied all that stuff. And you should, too. If you would study all that stuff, you would understand that all the dots, they fall in place. And it's been a subversion of the American government by the God haters. The godless folks are in control in America. Right wing watch who's watching us right now. They are godless. Do you understand? Wait a minute. Whoa. No, they have a God. But they reject and hate the Christian God, Jesus Christ. They hate him. They are anti-Christ. And see, that spirit's been at work. We read in the scripture, it talks about Second Thessalonians. It said the spirit of Antichrist is already at work. Antichrist means against Christ, against Christ. And America raised up in what we thought and believed and were taught was a Christian foundation, which it was. But was it a Christian Masonic foundation? I might get into some of that today, too, because those two things get mixed together. And man, lots and lots of deception. So we're talking about draining the swamp, boys and girls. The swamp's connected to a lot of, there's a lot of channels in and out of that swamp. As I tried to show you, I think it was last Thursday when we put that chart up. But I don't want to get bogged down on all of that. I just want this to always continue to be kind of an educational process for all of us, that we would understand the depth of the deception, the reality of the deception, and what we need to do about it. And I'm going to try to connect some dots here this morning for you. Before I go too far, two things I want to talk about. David Arthur, don't let me forget you. I want you to come up here right here in a second. Number one, this weekend I'm going to be in Noblesville, Indiana. You say, where's Noblesville, Indiana? Well, Google it. Noblesville, Indiana. I'm doing a couple-hour presentation there to try to build. We are trying to build a downline, a salt and light brigade downline in Noblesville, Indiana. And I'm going to be there from 2:00. I think it's 2:30 to 4:30. Jared, can you pull that up? I'm sorry, guys. I'm so, Jared's got it up there for us. Hey, folks, these kind of things are important. These kind of things are important because, you know, again, the scripture says this, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And that day is approaching. I see it approaching. So let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It's in Noblesville, Indiana, from 2:30 into 4:30. I'm going to be there and answer questions and make a presentation. And it's free. Just come. I don't care if you're in the Chicago area. I don't care if you're out in what is that? Get out farther west in Illinois. What's the name of that town with a big, it doesn't matter. My brain's fried. Get there. Come on. It may take you 2 hours to drive there and it may take you 2 hours to drive home, but it'll be 6 hours of your life that'll be worth it. You will in fact be able to meet, greet and look in the eye of some other people who are like-minded. So if you're out there in the hinterland and you say, well, there's no church around here, there's nobody to connect with, Noblesville, Indiana, this Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30, it's at the Forest Park, the Overlook Room in Forest Park, all right? There's the address, 701 Cicero Road, Noblesville, Indiana, 2:30 to 4:30. It's free. I'll bring some hats. I'll bring some shirts and get some of that kind of stuff if you'd like to. And so come and join us there. Then I want to throw this out there. Listen, folks, I want to help you. I want to help you find like-minded people around you. I want to do that. And some of you are going to have to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and do what Russ did here in Noblesville. Rich, I get my brain's running crazy. Rent a building. I'll Pass Assault Ministries will pay the rental for you to go. If a church won't let you use it, you go find a hotel. You go find some place that'll let you have a room for 3 hours, rent it for 3 hours. We'll pay for it. And then we'll send out the call for you that, hey, we are having a meeting in Amarillo, Texas. No, we're not doing that because Chad's having a big get together at his place this week. We're having a big get together at Des Moines, Iowa. We're having a big get together in Atlanta, Georgia. We're having a big get together in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And you take the lead. You grab the bull by the horns. You be the front person, the point man in your area, and we will drive people to that event. Now, it may not be many. I don't even know this weekend when we go to Noblesville. Is it going to be 10? Is it going to be 20? Is it going to be 50? I don't have any idea. I don't. But we have to start somewhere. Chad Estes is down in Texas. Chad just started, man. He made some phone calls. He started and opened up his house and said, hey, come and join us. And Chad's probably going to have, for the third or fourth time now, probably 25, 30 people at his house. He's building a group there. So if that's you and you would like to do that, send us an email. Say, Coach, I'd like to do it. I want to step out of my comfort zone. I want to do it. Help us out here, and we will get an event in your area. Okay. Any questions about that? Any advice? Any wisdom? Oh, I forgot Kevin Van Story. Kevin is doing thanks, Kevin, for shooting that up there on the screen. We're doing an event in Neosho, which is just south of Joplin, Missouri. Neosho, Missouri, on the 9th and 10th. I'm horrible with dates. The 9th and 10th. It's an actual boot camp. It's going to be a Friday, Saturday event. And we're going to do some ordaining there. So if you're one of the people who wants to be ordained, put that on your calendars. If you're out in that area and it's a couple-hour drive for you, that's where you want to be. We'll do some of our first ordination processes right there. That's on. Thanks, Jared, for getting up there. February 9th and 10th. I believe in interaction, looking you in the eyes. That's why we want to come and do these things. That's why we want to help train, equip, and mobilize people in your area. But some of you are going to have to step out of your comfort zone. These things are all put on our event calendar. We're going to be in March. Good old Rob Pugh up there in Marshfield. I forgot about that. But Jared, even before that, when is the one in Marshfield? We have that. Even have that up there. I don't even know. Daggone. That's my bad. I haven't given it. Shame on me, Rob. Shame on me, Rob. I haven't even given it up. We're doing it. We're going to be in Marshfield, Wisconsin there goes my brain. March 9, 10, 11, I believe. Jared, if you would Google Wisconsin Christian News, you can find it. Sorry, Rob, I'm going to get that on the calendar. That's going to be an unbelievable event, too. I'm going to be there. Flip Benham's going to be there. Rusty Thomas is going to be there. Pastor Bill Dunphy's going to be there. David Arthur is going to be there. Bill Federer's going to be there. I mean, this is going to be a great event. That's in Marshfield. No, it's not. He moved it, I think. I'm sorry, Rob. I got a thousand things running through my head here today. We got to get that up on the calendar. The Wisconsin Christian News is the one that's hosting that. Okay. I'm sorry for all this paperwork, this cleanup, but it needs to be known. We are on the move. We're Coach Dave, and we're live. We're coming to a city near you. So some of you out there, let's get an event going in your area. And speaking of that, David Arthur, our recently discovered Christian friend / lawyer, has a story to tell. David Arthur, as you know, has come out of the deviant lifestyle. Sorry, David, I don't mean to say that, but I do mean to say it because you can't go to the initials. It is the truth. The initials are so unbelievable that they don't even mean anything. And it's all deviancy. And David Arthur, here's a good lesson. Here's a good one for you. Get a hold of us. And why don't you sponsor an event in your local area and have David Arthur come in? Go to your pastor and say, hey, man, this guy is going to blow the whistle on all these sexual deviancies. Now that you're not born that way. Let's have David Arthur come in and speak, and we'll help get him into your church. But again, you guys are going to have to help us out there. Now, it's going to be controversial. In fact, I'm going to scare you. If David Arthur comes to your town and you advertise it, the homos are probably going to show up too. They're going to show up and pick it outside the church and all that. So therefore, most churches don't want to do it. So David Arthur, this last weekend, I think it was, a weekend ago, whenever, jumped in his car, drove, 350 miles, David? 700, drove a long way down to speak at this church.
700.
At 700 miles, he drove to speak at this church. 700 miles, one way. And David, tell us what happened when you got down there and how the crowd reacted to your presentation.
Well, when I got down there, I got about a few days before I was supposed to actually go and speak at the church, I got an email from their pastor, and he told me that that his congregation was not prepared for my presentation. And so, in other words, they didn't want to hear my testimony because he tried to put it off on his congregation. He said, I don't want to shove it down their throats and have things go bad. And so my only reaction to him could be, this is not a congregation issue. This sounds like a shepherding issue because they're not being shepherded correctly, obviously. because mm-hmm. the shepherd doesn't go to his flock and ask their permission to tell them the truth. He just presents them the truth. And if they right. don't want to hear it and they walk out and they take their pocketbooks with them, so be it. You know, but
David, what does that even mean? They're not prepared for it. What, folks, do you understand the depth of the brainwashing? That they're not prepared to hear the truth, a powerful Christian testimony. They're not prepared for it. They're not prepared to hear a powerful Christian testimony of a guy who's come out of the deep, deep darkness of a deviant lifestyle. They're not prepared to hear it. Well, David, what does that even mean?
They're embracing it. It doesn't mean anything, really, because what it told me was that he couldn't even call my testimony. He had to call it my presentation. It's a business. It's a business to them. You know, it's not a presentation. This is not like, you know, I'm not going into a meeting giving a presentation. I'm going before people to give them hope and encouragement that there's freedom from this dark, deceptive, deviant movement that is just enveloping everybody it comes into contact with.
Mm. Well,
but I do want to say one thing. It is the Jerusalem Evangelical Lutheran Church that canceled on me.
Jerusalem Evangelical Lutheran Church. Evangelical.
Schwanksville, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jared.
Which synod are they a part of?
Pardon?
Which synod are they part of?
The communist one. Jared, look up evangelical real quick, Jared. Go ahead, David, answer that question.
I still didn't hear the question, sorry.
He said, what's synod? There's different groups. See, even within the Lutheran church, there's different denominations within the Lutheran church, right? I mean, you say, you're kidding me. No, I'm not kidding you.
Yeah, I wouldn't even know that.
Synods.
What I do know is that this pastor is the only pastor that showed up at a conference that I did in the same area last year. And so I just thought he was like on board. I thought that he was on board, but I mean, obviously things change within a year.
Well, folks, do you understand the depth of the deception? Do you understand it? That even in the American Christian church, you say, Coach, we're only talking about one church. How can you paint everybody with that broad brush? Okay, we're waiting for the invitations. Let's see your invitation to David Arthur to come to your church to speak the truth. And when you give us that invitation, then we will publicly acknowledge that you've done that and that you're not one of them that are hiding from the truth. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah, David, was that did you say that Lutheran church was considered itself an evangelical Lutheran church?
Yes.
Okay, well, that branch of the Lutheran church is the ones that are in partnership and dialogue with the Churches United in Christ, which are the ones that agree that there's other saviors other than Jesus.
Right, the affirming, confirming churches. But you know what, Coach, it's not just that one church. I want people to understand that it's not just that one church. Because I drove to North Carolina back in November to speak at the Access Church in Asheville, and they canceled on me 3 days before I was supposed to speak, after I was already there. And like this church, didn't even compensate or even make an offer to cover any traveling costs. So, you know, it's not just that church. This happens often.
Well, as far as the churches go, there's 10 denominations. And some of them are major denominations. There's 10 denominations that have aligned themselves with Satan.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Guys, folks, listen. Larry, there are churches who haven't aligned themselves with Satan that won't have David in. I mean, I get what you're saying. I understand your point. But here is the point. We have been so conditioned and so brainwashed and so taught by the world that the truth of a man's deliverance from a deviant lifestyle is not welcome in the American Christian church. Say, Coach, that's a broad brush. Give me a call. We'll schedule him. Let him come to your church. No, we don't want to. We'd rather believe the lie that you're born that way, that you can't change. And you explain to me, why is the homosexual movement so powerful that the church caves?
And you know what it is? Backwards?
Don't we have this backwards?
We do, because I've been asked by pastors to water it down, to remove the whole the whole pedophile part of my testimony, to stop relating it to the LGBT movement, you know. But I can say that I'm not homosexual. I'm not transgender. That God healed me of AIDS and all these other illnesses. But I can't say that when I was in that movement, that I became a pedophile, that I was luring boys into it. I can't say that God completely removed that from me. I can't say that he brought me out of that, because that is too offensive. Even for the ones that call themselves conservative, they want me to water it down. They want me to tone it down. They don't want me to be bold and just put it all out there on the table, so that people actually know that they can actually receive help from these things. And a lot of it, Coach, has to do with the very people that are running these churches. Because I spoke in a church, and when I sat there and was speaking, I saw a man that was one of my clients in the past.
Mm.
And I knew when they put my pictures up behind me, because that's when he knew who I was, and he got uncomfortable and he got nervous. And then I come to find out he was a deacon in that church. So that's
the righteous. The righteous are as bold as lions, the scripture says, and evil men flee when no one pursues. Now you tell me, who's more bold for the truth? The evangelical church or the deviant, sexual deviants? Who's more bold in their faith? Brothers, it ain't even close. It ain't even close. And Jared's got up on the screen, evangelical, the Webster's Dictionary says, of relating to or being in agreement with the Christian gospel, especially as it is presented in the four gospels, emphasizing salvation by faith in the atoning death of Jesus Christ through personal conversion that happened to David, the authority of scripture, that's what David talks about, and the importance of preaching as contrasted with ritual. That's what David wants to do. No, not here. Not here. Because why? Because we got some people, got some homo children here. And you can't come in here and say that. What David would say, well, I might bring him some deliverance. No. They were born that way. You see it? You see the lie?
They got rituals. They got rituals.
They do have the rituals. It says that, doesn't it? They got rituals, all right. Yep. Mark put up some good stuff here in the chat. 65 different synods. Good Lord help us. This is from Martin Luther, the dude that pounded it on the door. They're all invited now. Oh, Lord Jesus. I got some stuff I want to get into. Hey, David, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry that happened to you.
Don't be sad, Coach. I'm getting used to it.
Yeah, I know, but we got to figure
it's actually
a way
becoming through. Encouraging.
So, David, here's what you got to do next time, man. You ask for a travel expense check before you go. That's what I would do.
I'm going to have to start doing that.
So, David's going to be at the Wisconsin Christian News event. I'm sorry, Rob. I so screwed that up. I think it's March 9th. March 9th
and March 10th.
There you go, buddy. And it is March 9th, March 10th. Sorry, Rob, we'll get that up. Get that up, all right? Cool. I want to emphasize to you guys, I really believe, switching gears and coming back, something I want to share with us here. I really believe something's coming down in America. I really do believe it. I don't know what the depth of it's going to be. I know the depth of evil is very, very great. And it is amazing to me, isn't it, that the government has to root out the evil, not the church? The government has to root it out. And as I said last week, it'll be interesting to see at this time when America so needs the church. When Trump wants to make America great again, we all know that Trump can't make America great again. But the missing element is the church. Where is the church rising up against all this evil? Is it they don't want to believe the pedophilia? Child, listen, just go to your local police department and ask if this is going on, if there's sex trafficking going on. I mean, come on, man. And would you be surprised with all the, you turn on the movies and all that stuff, all the satanic ritual stuff that we see going on in the movies, the death and destruction and debauchery in the movies, that we would think children who've not been schooled in the things of the Lord, they're not going to be influenced by that? Do you think a young child without the Holy Spirit has the ability to discern good from evil? Do you really think that? This stuff is so real, so real, so real. Now, the only good thing is they've been blindsided, I think, because they never thought Trump was going to win. I think they so overstepped in what they were doing that they never thought that anybody would ever investigate them. Oh, there's so much stuff. Anybody want to throw anything out there before I go another direction here?
Absolutely, Coach. I want to bridge on what you brought up Friday. You were absolutely spectacular. I mean, it was so fantastic to wake up to that show when I woke up and I missed the show. So I'm going to add this. I want everyone out there to understand that we should not be revering Israel. I believe we've been deceived. So let me give you something to all chew on. June 8, 1967, we were attacked, and it was a deliberate attack. I want you all to know that. I have the absolute proof. I won't go any farther, but if you want to find out anything further, I guess look me up somehow or. But we were attacked. We were attacked. Don't revere people who attack us.
Then
maybe I'll stop there.
Yeah. Gotta go. We have to tread lightly. I'm a bold pursuer. I pursue the truth. I did some memes on Facebook again this weekend, and I'm telling you guys, they expose people. They really, really expose people. No wonder people hate me, because I just ask the question that just exposes them, man. Jared, go to my Facebook page real quickly. I'm gonna show you some stuff that I did this weekend. I encourage other Larry. I noticed you started doing it. It's good. I remember my wife was sick. I'm sitting around here, just sitting around here all weekend, really. Look at some of the stuff I started to put up here. Larry put one up. Does anyone even know which words were cuss words back in biblical days? See, now that'll start a conversation. That right there will start a conversation. And Larry, here's what I do. I don't get back in the conversation. I just let them go at it. I let them begin to argue them amongst themselves. Go on down, Jared. I'm a provocateur, right? Provoke others to love and to good work. And all I do is just simply ask questions that I believe will cause them to question the status quo. How about this? I love truth even when it sounds unpleasant. Boom, you can see all the responses get going. Go on to the next one, Jared. They're all red, Jared, so you'll know it when you see one. Hang on. Ooh, somebody's putting them up there, too. People are getting it. People are starting to get it. Yeah, I got to watch the dirty words. I don't know. Keep going. See, others are starting to do it. I can't even keep up with them, Jared. I can't even keep up with them. Yeah, just go to my page. There you go. Oh, go back down, Jared. I'm sorry. There was the Wisconsin Christian News. Right there it is. Courageous Christianity, March 9th and 10th. Pastor Bill Dunphy, who had the strippers come to his church. Bill Federer, oh my goodness, is he good. Flip Benham, they only need to tell you about Flip. Rusty Thomas, Matt Truella's family, it's going to be great, man. If you're up in that Wisconsin area, come to that thing. Okay, Matt, we're going to get that on our website. I apologize for that. Okay, Jared, now let's go back down. I'll show you a few more of these memes. I think this is important. Just right there. Remove weekly church attendance from the equation. Do you give 10% of your time to the work of the Lord? 2.4 hours per day. We love to tithe, don't we? People say, I tithe my time. Oh, yeah? 2.5 hours a day? No, you don't. Go next one. Next one, Jared. They're all red, I think. Well, if believers are the salt of the earth, why are they stuck inside the salt shaker? Then the conversation gets going. They get mad and call me names. The tithe should go to the Lord's work. What does that look like? Shouldn't the work be done outside the building? Oh, they don't like that. Go on down, Jared. Is the tithe for meat in the storehouse? That's Malachi, right? Are TV screens and fancy buildings meat? How do you eat that meat? Next one. Would you believe what you believe even if someone proved you it wasn't true? Many do. Amen. Yeah, people believe it no matter what. If God only requires 10% of your money, does he also only require 10% of your time? Is that what you give him? Next one, Jared. Trying to get people to think. Is the church the only place you can offer your finances to God? Is giving to your neighbor honoring to God? Is that a tithe? Boy, don't get going on that one. Ooh, people are so brainwashed that the only place you can give money is to the church. The only place you can give it. Go ahead, Jared. A couple more. As I said, I've sitting around just been doing nothing. But being a Christian is more than liking Jesus on Facebook. Look, Google the word Lord. One more, Jared, then we'll get back to seven. Hatfield, McCoy, Cowboys, Indians, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, donkeys, elephants, conservative, liberals, wake up! Divide and conquer is what the point I was trying to make. One more, Jared. Only two political parties? Huh? Thesis, antithesis. It's how they control us. Google Hegelian dialectic. Divide and conquer. Wake up! Okay, cool. These are questions that need to be asked, in my most not so humble opinion, inside the church. We've got to shake in and awaken the church. We've got to. We've got to. Or churchgoers or Christians, we've got to awaken them. Got to awaken them. We've got to be counterculture. We have to be provocateurs. We have to lay it all on the line, whether they like us or don't like us. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We've got to begin to speak the truth. Go one more, Jared. I feel like one more good one. There's got to be one more good one there. Oh, back up, Jared. Back up, back, back. Look, look. A pizza gate. Did you guys see this? One more, I think, Jared. Oh, no. I shouldn't have stopped you. Keep going. Keep going. Perhaps it's time America focused on deporting every child out of the womb into the United States. Pretty good, huh? Oh, it's good stuff. It makes them think. Makes them think. Okay, here's what I want to share with you today. Thank you. Let's go, Lord. Let's go. Yeah, let's do this. Because I haven't spoken much about Donald Trump calling people, calling those places crap holes. Now, hey, guys, we all know they're crap holes, don't we? Haiti's a crap hole. Yeah?
Coach, why don't we get right to the meat of it? If these countries weren't assholes, why are these people here? Okay?
Why do we want them here, right? And if Haiti isn't a crap hole, why do we send so many missionaries there?
Right.
Why so many mission trips to Haiti if it's not a crap hole? Now, calling a country a crap hole doesn't say the people are. It says the country's a crap hole.
Of course.
Go ahead, Vince.
No, all I wanted to say was why. Okay, I put this on Twitter a bunch of times. I've never gotten a good satisfactory answer. Why does the world try to insist on making the U.S. like the rest of it instead of the world trying to be like the USA?
Vince, there's a reason why. That's kind of where I'm heading here this morning, see? It's not the language. That Turban Durbin, he doesn't get upset about slaughtering babies, but you say the S-H-I-T word. Oh, my goodness, my goodness. See, it's a manipulation that's going on. And I am amazed, again, I was on Facebook, at how many Christians are offended by the S-H-I-T word. I just can't even, I don't even, where do these people live?
Hey, Coach, can I chime in on a little bit there?
Please do, Dale. Sorry about those saints, man. That was the most unbelievable thing I've ever.
Brother, that doesn't change my life.
But it
doesn't change my life one bit, brother.
Still unbelievable.
Doesn't change my life. Doesn't change my life one bit. But here's the thing. First off, there's cussing and cursing. The Bible talks about cursing, cussing. There's a difference, right? So I want to leave that there. Yeah. But I want to go back to Haiti, put it in a good deal there. Now, did you have Clinton
up, the
country? But even... I'm sorry, but even within that country itself, it's the people, when the helps have come in, they've literally drained that money off, and it's never gotten down to the people
that's right.
I've been into that country. It's absolutely deplorable. Now, the third thing I want to chime in, which I think it helps us go, wow, I never thought about it this way, and it's biblical. From the stances is, why is the church not rising up? Why is the church not doing what it's supposed to do to make America great again? When you look at the Old Testament and you see how many times when there was a cleansing in the nation where Israel came back to, it was the government, it was the king who ordered for the temple to be cleaned again. When you look, it was Jehu who had Jezebel thrown down from that high tower. It was the position of government that actually reestablished the church
That's true, Dale. I hadn't thought of that. It's absolutely true. It is. That is.
So I look at Trump and I'm like, he's kind of, and man, look, I went with it on Sunday, man. Look, this, what Matt Trewilla said about him, he's probably one of the best presidents that we've ever had in our lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Because Dale, we're not looking for a pastor, right? We're not looking for a pope. We're looking for somebody. Dennis Prager said something so profound the other day. Wow. He said, if you had to choose between the two, now think about this now. A president or a doctor or whatever. He said, if you were going to go get heart surgery done, do you want your heart surgeon to be moral or competent? Do you want some guy who's church-going, God-fearing, never swears, rookie heart surgeon, or do you want some hard-charging guy who's the expert in his field, cutting you open and working on your heart? Wow, did I think about that, huh? See, America is it's a melting pot, right? In a country where our values are under attack, and we need somebody who is competent for the challenge.
Hey, you know, on this Trump supposedly using the SH word or whatever that is, I think everybody just needs to realize that the left really, truly knows, understands, and believes that anytime there is no way to provide physical proof that something they're saying is a lie, they will invent and initiate lies.
Yes, they will.
There's no way to refute it because the media is going to pound their side. They know this. They use this tactic.
Hey, Larry. All you got to do is go back to the days of Lyndon B. Johnson and what he said about the black community, and he didn't call him black. Or you think about what Richard Nixon said about him, and he wasn't black, wasn't talking black either. Or what Ruth Nader Ginsburg said, that this type of people, that we didn't want too many of them. What was her underlying tone? It was this. It's the same thing. They're just, you know, it's a slant. There's no doubt about it.
Okay, so let me get to the root of it here today. My friend, I consider him a friend, Michael Bray. Some of you may not know of Michael Bray. Michael Bray has a history a long time ago in the pro-life movement and was involved. He lost everything he had. I'm just giving you a quick overview here. Lost everything he had in a lawsuit before the Supreme Court involving his pro-life work. And he lives in Wilmington, Ohio, just down the road for us. He's a great, faithful brother in the Lord. And he wrote a letter to the editor. Jared, maybe you can find it. It's just Michael Bray, first one. He wrote a letter to the editor to his local newspaper, and it was so profound. See, guys, until we lay again at the base of our government a Christian foundation, we're not going to get anywhere, boys and girls. We ain't going to get anywhere. And the church has totally washed its hands of politics. So therefore, that's why we can see that the Clintons and the Bushes and all these people got involved with politics, because they saw that there were no checks and balances morally in government. They saw that there was whoever's in charge makes the rules. They saw that. And they saw the degradation of our justice system and our court system and, you know, appointing leftist judges. They saw it all. And they thought Hillary Clinton thought of, everybody thought, the deep state thought, if Hillary gets elected, we'll be cool. And they didn't want Trump to get elected, because why? He was going to expose some of this stuff, right? But Michael Bray, Reverend Michael Bray, makes a great argument here. Just bear with me here. The materialist doctrine and its consequences, broken families, despair, and dope. Are you ready? Listen to this. No God, no judge, no purpose, no hope. Simple. Immorality is consistent with godlessness. No law, no standard. If all is matter only, no spirit, no God, no word from him, no communication of his message to us, then sorrow follows. And so I tell my men at the jail, he does jail ministry, we are bona fide bullshit. Lamentations, That is what the prophet of God wrote about long ago. Lamentations 5, 2 through 17 says, our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our houses to aliens. We've become orphans without a father. Our mothers are like widows. This is the word of the Lord, boys. We have to pay for our drinking water. Our wood comes to us at a price. Our pursuers are at our necks. Our fathers sinned and are no more. It is we who have borne their iniquities. Elders were not respected. The joy of our hearts has ceased. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our heart is faint. Man. Such were the lamentations of Jeremiah, and such shall be ours as we, the United States of America, continue down the road of child slaughter and sodomy, consequences of having no standard for law in the land. We've rejected him civilly, and we will suffer civilly. He will reject us and give us over to the anarchy of godless judges. They have unraveled our laws because we have rejected his law as the basis for all statutes and legislation and judicial opinions. The rule of law must be defined. And justice requires that it be his law. The path to recovery is God's grace in Jesus, freedom from condemnation, and then walking in the law of God. No adultery, no fornication, no drunkenness, and no getting high on dope. And that, it must be affirmed, is the path to political recovery as well. The law of God is perfect. It is just. Yea, it defines justice. It is good. The commandments are the standard, and it is a good standard for communities, for cities, for nations, as well as for the individual. Each person, each community, each nation must come under some authority. What else ought it to be? What else shall it be? The nonsensical notion that it's all random, i.e. mythology known as biological evolution, is false teaching. It's a fraud, a lie. It declares ex cathedra, as it were, that there is no one who is overseeing the operation of the world. By the way, how do they know that? It proclaims implicitly that man is the sovereign, that he, as individual, is the lawgiver for himself. In whatever community, state, nation, or society in which he, as a level evolutionary organism, lives. It declares, as a philosophical prepositioning underlying, that man determines right from wrong, and that even in this realm of ethics, that there is no such universal distinction between two such propositions. Man here, man there, man everywhere may discriminate for himself between right and wrong. Man is the lawgiver. Michael, this is so good. So it is, as we now witness in 2017, morality is in flux. Students, apart from those schooled otherwise in churches, are taught a materialistic philosophy in the name of science. They're taught that humanity is a product of an evolutionary process under the guidance of no God, no mind. Each organism does what it pleases according to the dictates of its genes. Be what you want to be. Be a boy, be a girl, be a sodomite, be an old-fashioned straight person. Not to worry, what is straight today may be quicker tomorrow, because everything evolves. The drug experience is so exhilarating, so timeless. It is worth the gamble. Why not? This is it. And the ecstasy of the high trumps the trek to a life with no hope. There's no eternal beatific future. There's nothing but dust, matter. So what does it matter? All proceed into graves to be eaten by worms, dust to dust, no soul, no life after death, nothing, emptiness. Life goes on without us. We are left behind. Nada. But whoops, not the genes which drive a boy to want to be a girl or vice versa. Genes don't explain such aberrations. Genes don't explain suicide, adultery, murder, jealousy, envy, and hatred. Well, what explains the drive behind such trends as Sally wanting to become Johnny? Well, it isn't biology. Nope. It isn't the genes. Something mixed in with matter, a phenomenon known as spirit. And this spirit is fallen, corrupted, disoriented from its original design. By revelation from the Creator Spirit, we are informed of the declaration that it is married to the body and will go to the grave with it. There separated and to be rejoined at a future eschatological resurrection of the body and a special day when the Creator of all bodies and all spirits will bring all people who have lived back from their graves, whether dusty or watery, and marshal them all before himself for a divine judgment. Some he will fire from his presence and send away forever to the punishment that they deserve for their reckless insolence, filthy disrespect, and disgusting blasphemy. Those whom he spared by his love through the kindness shown the world by Jesus, he takes to be with him forever. We reap in America what we have sown for two generations. No God, no law, no right, no wrong. All law evolves like sartorial fashions. Hippie pink here, rainbow there, lawlessness everywhere, marriage, family, children, ethics, all up for grabs. Redefinitions, new values, no value. And sociologists and politicians wonder at the opioid crisis. Yeah, they can't figure out why everybody's taking drugs. Indeed, 64,000 died from the overdose in the U.S. in 2016. The dope death crisis is a product of a godless society. The children brought up strictly in our educational system are trained in hopelessness. Those devoid of the teachings which have been patently revealed in the message of the church, confirmed by the death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, are schooled in the popular, contemporary, secular alternative, hedonism. Somebody say amen. Boy, the proposition is not
amen,
a new
one. Brother. Amen.
The writer of Ecclesiastes referred the notion as a reasonable recommendation for one who is nothing else for which to strive in life without high divine purpose. Eat, drink, and be merry. Smoke dope. Ingest opioids, even to death. Why not? What else is there? Oh, but even the one who lives a good life, albeit absent any interest in the giver of life, he too is in trouble. Yes, even the good old boy who contributes his share to society, he's going to be surprised on that day. Fear this, Jesus said. Fear the one who has authority to cast into hell. Fear this one, it says in Luke 12:5. May it be that we sober up as communities, as states, and as a nation, and declare that the government must be upon his shoulders, and that his law is the foundation of all law. Bingo, Michael Bray. See, fellas, that's what the church ought to be fighting for. That's it. I sat around yesterday morning, and I was on Facebook, and I went from church service to church service to church service, streamed live. You know what I'm saying, right? You've seen them. It's like these guys all get in a room and plan the same church service. They were all the same. Oh, the word was a little bit different. But the rigmarole, it was all the same in each and every one of them. And you listen to some of the sermons, and it's all inward focus. It's all what Michael's talking about, the happy, good life. I need this. Jesus will give you this. It's all that over and over and over. Self-absorbed Christianity reinforced in our churches.
Hey,
and outside the four walls of the church, outside the four walls, the world's going to hell. The culture's disintegrating, and we see no connection.
Coach? Yeah. You know, yes. They're all the same. Now, and I'm harping on this again because I feel compelled to right now. Those CUIC denominations have agreed to a 5-year liturgy. In other words, they are all the same. There's a 5-year cycle of what gets preached in those churches, and every one of them preaches the same thing on every week. Now, they may use different examples in their teachings and stuff, but they are all teaching the same subjects, the same points that are given to them every week. 10 major denominations out there under this satanic control.
But Larry, it's happening in these small little independent churches. I've watched these churches of 50 people who where the spirit is. They're spirit filled and they're not talking about anything relevant to anybody but them.
But are they spirit filled by God's spirit? They might be.
Well, you understand what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying. These are not denominationally controlled churches. This is American Christiana. Yes, David.
I just received, now, and maybe somebody is watching your show from that area, because I just received a message from a woman who must have a position in that church that I was just canceled on. And she says to me, and I quote her, "Good morning. I'm a member of Jerusalem Lutheran Church in Swainsville, PA. We see that you were scheduled to speak at our church. The congregation is or was unaware of this arrangement. And we would like to avoid any future hardships. Please, can you provide us with information on how this occurred?" So this pastor scheduled me to come and never even told his congregation. And he still canceled on me.
And probably has people in the church whose children or grandchildren are struggling with homosexuality. And you could be hope to them, but they're not ready to hear it. Right? See, churches, people in churches, I'm including all of us, we want to hear feel-good stuff. We don't want to hear that the people outside the church are perishing and we have to go rescue them. We don't want to hear that. We want to hear that Jesus is coming soon and we'll be in the boat and we'll be out of here and we can wave to the world as we go up. That's what we want to hear. We want a Christless Christianity. We want a costless Christianity. And we look at what's going on around us, look at the culture and the disintegration, and people are taking drugs. And the last thing the church wants to do is stand up and demand Christ at the center of our government as our rules. Not that you have to be a Christian, but these are the rules and regulations by which we're going to raise our children, that we're all going to have a common set of values, which is what it used to be. I'm not ticked off. It just seems like it.
Amen, Coach.
So we're given false solutions. We're giving them false solutions in the churches. Whew. I'm not anywhere near where I wanted to get. Somebody rescue me.
Hey, Coach, how's this, guys? All righty. So I mentioned the document. I want you all to take this seriously. And I'm going to give you a way to reach me if you want to question me. Send email to hrc4jail@mail.com. Once again, hrc4jail@mail.com.
That's Hillary Rodham Clinton, HRC. Hillary Rodham Clinton, HRC for jail.
Right, the number at mail.com. Hit me, people. I'm ready for it. I'll take anything you got, and I have proof to back up all of my assertions. And these are not assertions, these are facts.
Hey, guys. Do you think that the American church would be acting the way it's acting if we didn't believe in the second coming of Jesus? Now, I believe in the second coming of Jesus. But would our churches be acting the way they are if they knew that the only hope for the world was what they did for the gospel? That Jesus wasn't coming back, and that Jesus laid it out on the table. Hey, boys, sink or swim. Culture and society, sink or swim. Good's going to reign or evil's going to reign. That battle's going to reign. And you, listen, you can't say that you know who wins in the end. You take that away from it, because whether or not Christianity continues, Western civilization continues, whether or not that happens, depends on you and what you do and for the gospel's sake. Would we be acting the same way? Of course, the answer to it's no. And so we sit around and we argue over crap holes, whatever word you want to use, on the arguing the word crap holes, when we know that some those godless countries are crap holes. They are not the people there. The godless countries are crap holes. And what do we want to do here in America? See, they want to make us force. They want to force us. The God haters, those who hate America, want to force us to live up to our Christian standards by saying you have a Christian obligation to go rescue those poor people. You got to go get them and bring them to America and feed them and clothe them and take care of them. You got to go do that. That's your Christian duty. But oh, Christian values in America? Oh, no. Don't you bring those. We're not going to live by Christian values. But you Christians, you got to go rescue those poor people. That's what the Bible tells you you have to do. Can't we see the folly? Don't you understand that Cloward and Piven, which I was going to show, I don't have time to show you now, in the 1960s came up with a way to destroy America was to overload its social program, overload the welfare system to where it became unsustainable. And here we are in 2018, and what do they want us to do? You Christians! You are obligated to go serve those in need and bring them over here and give them everything. See them playing both sides of the gospel against us.
Well, Coach.
Yep.
Well, the problem when you destroy Christian principles while you're doing that is people just stop caring about those people. So.
That's what Michael Bray wrote about. What he wrote about there, right? What he wrote about. Wrote about and find out that Christian Lutheran services, dare I say it, Lutheran Christian services and Catholic social services and go on and on. They're getting millions and millions and millions of dollars to bring these refugees in and then don't even take care of them. Just bring them in and let the government take care of them. Oh, man.
The message I heard from a church coach went right before they were talking about the refugees was just think of all of the opportunity that this could bring to us. I mean, the pastors want to be disciples. They don't want to be pastors. They don't want to shepherd their flock. They want to be a disciple. They want to be your friend, your brother. But the disciples need to know that they need to be the ones out in the battlefield making disciples. Pastors don't make disciples. Disciples make disciples. Pastors.
That's good. Pastors don't make disciples. Disciples make disciples. You know, here's what I think it is. I think we don't want to clean up Haiti because we wouldn't have a nice warm climate to go and do mission trips. We'd clean that place up. Then we'd have to go to someplace cold.
Hey, Coach, can I comment on Haiti just for 1 second?
Yeah, please, Bobby.
How do you clean up Haiti when they literally have human skulls from Hurricane Katrina as artwork? It's a satanic
voodoo. 50% of the people practice voodoo as a national religion, 50% in Haiti.
So there's far more going on with just that being a shithole. Satanism just explodes in Haiti. How do you deal with that?
Bobby, that's the connection I'm trying to get people to see. Cloward and Piven, the God haters are trying to make us to live up to our Christian values. Go rescue those people, you Christians. Bring them to America. Bring them to America and then feed them and take care of them. And we can't do that, see? We can't do that. Why can't we do that? Because we have an ungodly, unrighteous government. So they're forcing us to live under our standards while not allowing our standards to become the standards by which we all live under. Separation between the church and state. Who are you to judge? What about the Muslims? They ought to be able to have their own religion. They ought to be able to worship how they – I mean, it's just – they just got us spinning like I can't even believe. And so the point of Michael Bray's article here is – How are we ever going to recover this society if the church doesn't stand up and demand a set of rules and regulations from a lawgiver?
It's a rescue mission, Coach.
It It's a rescue mission. It's not.
We got to get
churches.
We got to get the body of Christ out of these churches. That's the point.
Just to clarify, I think I said Hurricane Katrina. It was the earthquake. So I want. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah, no, I got you, Bobby. I got you, man. I got you. Guys, listen. Here's my goal. Every day, I want to set a brush fire in somebody's mind every day. Every day, set a brush fire in their mind. I'm past popularity. I don't care whether they like me. I don't care. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. I don't care what they. I don't care. I don't care. And the only way that we're going to get beyond this mess is if more and more of us begin to start doing this. We have to go through it. You shall know the truth. You shall speak the truth. And if you know the truth, if you know it, will set you free. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.